Herzlich willkommen zu Saatkorn, deinem Podcast mit Inspiration für eine bessere Arbeitswelt. Hallihallo und herzlich willkommen zum Saatkorn Podcast. Spannende Folge heute, kann ich schon direkt sagen, mit einer Premiere. Die virtuelle Welt macht es möglich. Ich spreche mit jemandem, der im schönen Madrid sitzt, bei 13 Grad und tollstem Sonnenschein, während ich in Ostwestfalen bei grauem Regen und 5 Grad Nieselwetter hier hocke und mich frage, warum ich nicht auch in Madrid bin. Mein Gast spricht zwar auch Deutsch, aber besser Englisch. Und deswegen haben wir uns entschieden, heute einfach den Podcast mal auf Englisch zu machen. Und I'm very happy. I will switch now, of course, to English to introduce you to David Padilla. He's a co-founder and CEO at Kenjo. So probably we'll have a HR tech discussion today. So welcome, David.
Hi, Gero. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you on board. So I already said the weather is great in Spain. And by the way, I mean, is Kenjo a remote company?
Sort of. I would describe it as a more like a hybrid model. And we do have two offices. In fact, Kenjo originally is a German company. It is headquartered in Berlin. But we have an office in Madrid. It was initially thought to be a tech hub, only a tech hub, but now it's all mixed. We have salespeople in Spain as well, even German salespeople in the Madrid office, product, technology, marketing, etc. So it's all kind of mixed between the two offices. And then we have a fairly flexible work from home policy. So it's a kind of a hybrid model.
Yeah, sounds interesting. And obviously, if you do something in the tech field today and you started around 2018, 2019, I guess that's a normal model anyway, since you started the company and like half a year later, there was Corona. But before we talk about Kenjo in more detail, perhaps you can give us some insights regarding the founding story. How did Kenjo come to life?
Yeah, it's so the story of Kenjo is that when I still remember the first time I became a manager, and I was working in Switzerland in an e-commerce company, and that's when I realized that I had a passion for people. I liked a lot, and I was energized by helping the team around me and the people around me to become better. And not only from like purely skills or let's say hard skills perspective, but also soft skills. And that's when I realized that I wanted to spend time in my career working in this field, because I think from HR we have the possibility to improve people's lives. And then that basically got me looking into the industry. Back then, I already knew that I would become an entrepreneur one day, and that's how I started looking at the HR space in general. I have a technology background, so at some point it became very clear for me that I wanted to do something that combined technology and HR, and then that led me, as another kind of fun fact, to start a company prior to Kenjo. I implemented a system called Holacracy. Don't know if you know this this operating system, Gero.
Yes.
Yes, Holacracy. So it's a radical way to manage a company, kind of without bosses, full transparency, based on the principles of self-management, Holacracy, and purpose. And I founded a company on let's say running on Holacracy. And that got me even more excited about all the possibilities from the HR, let's say, perspective on how you can influence not only people, but the business. And then from there, started looking at the market. I already knew that my passion was HR.
Sorry for the interruption, but I think that's kind of interesting because on LinkedIn, in your profile, we can see that the company you are talking right now about is Empower, which is focused on Salesforce for startups. So your partner or your help startups to use Salesforce. That's how I understand it. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, but it's very interesting what you write. Some of my roles at Empower, a sales engineer, okay, a recruiter, okay, but now Minister of Culture, I like that one. So it really fits perfectly to what you just said, your interest and your passion for HR topics, or your passion for people and culture, how I would like to call it, since HR to me seems like an old-fashioned wording, kind of.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. In that, so that was one of my roles. In Holacracy, you described, let's say, the different functions of a company through roles, and one of them was Minister of Culture. And I was like the, you could call it, no, the people and culture manager or head of the company, and then from there, one day I realized that I wanted to combine my passion for HR and people and with technology, and that's how Kenyo came about.
Oh, that's great. So Kenyo was founded in November 2018. At least that's what LinkedIn tells me. So it's a little bit more than 4 years old. What is impressive is that I think you already have a certain size. I mean, it's more than 70 people working for Kenjo, so that's quite interesting and also impressive. And tell us a little bit more about Kenjo. It's the all-in-one solution to achieve your HR goals. That's what you say. So all-in-one HR software. So yeah. How did you start it, and what kind of products did you start with, and how is the status quo today?
Yes, we started as a core HR solution, simplifying admin tasks for HR managers. And basically, the reasoning in the beginning was very simple. The first step in our vision was to free up the capacity of the main person in the company responsible for HR and people and culture by automating and, let's say, taking away as much admin work as possible from them. Because if we give them time back, they have more time to spend with people. And that's how they can have better impact in the company.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I have to smile a little bit coming back or having in mind your former role as Minister of Culture, and probably you always thought, we could automatize, how do we say it? This or that, make processes faster. And now this is what you just did with Kenjo, right?
Exactly. So we integrated into one technology the most important HR processes so that the HR managers don't have to be, let's say, running HR with paper, Excel files, emails, and spend their entire day on admin. And they can focus on tasks that add more value to the company and the employees.
Great. And what was the starting point?
In the beginning, it was a very simple solution where it was an employee database where Kenjo would act as a system of record of the employee data, so one single source of truth for employee data, then including documentation. Then after that, time of management, holidays, sickness, etc., organizing all of that. And then from there, we expanded into performance management, recruiting, and now recently workforce management as well. So if you're a company that needs to plan shifts, for example, that's something we also cover with our platform.
Yeah, so it's really comprehensive. Do you have a certain sweet spot in terms of customers? Is it big companies, small companies, startups?
Yeah, small companies, up to 500 employees. That's our target market. So companies, anything between 10 and 500 employees. And mainly we don't work that much with startups or high growth companies. Our customer base is mostly companies that are what you call in German the
Mittelstand. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So more let's say established companies that are not growing so aggressively or so fast.
Yeah. So I guess it's about really digitizing all HR processes for these kind of companies. Also Mittelstand, exactly. In my opinion, it's always a difficult term since there's no really clear definition. And I would say it's a smaller Mittelstand now. So since you have also a lot of Mittelstand companies that have like 5,000 or 10,000 employees, this is not what we're talking about. It's really the smaller companies.
Yeah, correct. This is more of the smaller companies, exactly.
Which is a very interesting market, since in Germany there's thousands of these companies. But this is also, of course, a big chance, since I guess digitization is not really full steam ahead in most of these companies. They are still working with Excel, pretty old-fashioned. That's my assumption. So there's a great market. But it's also complex since it's so many companies. So how do you address them? How do you make them aware that Kenjo exists?
Yes, there is. Coming back to the topic of the market size, just to give an idea, in Germany, in this segment of the market, there are 422,000 companies between 10 and 250 employees. So it's a really really big market. And the way we reach them, what we do is we provide content, educational content for everyone on HR, people, culture, who wants to improve, learn how to run HR better. And with that content, that's basically how companies find us online. Then when a company goes online to look for whatever topic around HR, they will likely come across our content. And that's how they find us. And then we have a very easy access to our product. They can create a free trial account to test it for free during 14 days. And then even if they want, they can actually even buy totally online without even talking to us. And that's basically how we do it.
What is really interesting to me, since content marketing is really key for your business success, especially when you're talking HR, that's quite different. If you, for instance, compare the UK with Germany, there's totally different legislation, there's different laws, there's different processes, there's a different market at the end of the day. So especially in terms of content marketing, I assume you need a tailored content marketing strategy for each region. Is that correct or am I wrong?
Yes. No, you are totally right. It's one of the keys in our model is to build localized go-to-market teams for each region. And we have a German team, team for Spain, where it's another geography where we also sell. And no, you're totally right. You need to have a dedicated, localized go-to-market strategy.
And how big is your, let's say, local team for the German market, for the content marketing?
For content marketing, we have 4 people in-house, and then we collaborate with a number of freelancers and agencies constantly, all the time.
All right. So that's quite interesting. I guess then probably you also have a sales team which does calls. I mean, you won't have people who travel to these companies. Would be way too expensive, I guess. So how does this work?
That's correct. What we do, basically, the distribution model is on one side content marketing, where then companies reaches, we generate a large volume of companies that get in touch with us, either by booking a demo from the website or by creating a free trial in the product. And then there is an inside sales team in Berlin that gets in touch with the potential leads from potential prospects and offer a demo, and that's how the process works. It's fairly simple.
Yeah, if I surf on your website, and I will of course put the website link in the show notes, but also the resources link. This is a place where all the content happens. There's really yes. lots of content. I'm really quite impressed. Lots of interviews, ebooks, what else? I mean, podcasts now.
Excel templates as well. What we do yeah. is we also notice that there are companies that are not at the point where they are ready to spend money on a tool, and we provide Excel templates that they can at least. It is not as good as if you use a technology product for this, but at least you know you're not doing it on your own, and you already have a good functional Excel template to run, for example, performance reviews or to organize your holidays with the team, etc.
Given the company size that you are interested in, I suppose most of them don't have a dedicated person for people and culture or for HR. I guess most of the time it's like the managing director or the founder who does these things. Or how does it work?
Normally, we come in when there is already one person dedicated to HR. In fact, the opposite, when there's still... And when HR it's still run by the founder, by the owner, by someone in operations, it is typically a good sign that they are not ready yet to implement a system like Kenjo. They might do well with a smaller tool for one specific, functionality or area, but they're likely not ready to implement an all-in-one product for the entire company and roll it out to the entire company. They are probably too small.
Ah, interesting. But then the yes. number which we're talking about is way smaller than you just mentioned. There is like so many companies, but I guess like perhaps 30 to 40% of them have a person dedicated to HR. Or am I wrong?
Yeah, if you look at between what we said before, 422,000 businesses in Germany between 10 and 250. Yeah, you're right. It's likely a percentage of them that have an HR manager dedicated yeah. HR manager in house.
That's interesting. What is your most important market? Since Kenjo is pretty international, I think you're not only on the German market. I'm sure you're in Spain, which has a completely yes. different labor market than Germany at the moment, I guess.
Yes.
And then we can talk about that. I'm really interested in that. Then are you in UK? I guess so, right?
No, not in the UK. Mainly our markets are Germany. So Germany is our main market.
All right.
It's number one. And then the second market is Spain. And now a few months ago, we expanded into Latin America as well. We have a small office in Mexico City from which we target the region.
Well, it's a big market there, but now yes. Let's really compare the labor market of Spain with Germany. I don't know the labor market in Spain, so I'm really curious. What are the main differences from your perspective?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more homogeneous over time because of the because of the European Union. And one example here is that Spain was the first country in Europe that implemented the mandatory time tracking regulation. In mm-hmm. fact, I'm not sure if you know about this topic, but basically it has become a big thing in Germany now, but it's been in Spain a big thing since I think it was 2019. And Spain was the first country to implement mandatory time tracking because it actually came out of Spain. It was Betriebsrat, Workers' Union.
Workers' Council.
Yeah, who went to the European Court of Justice and said, hey, we have to fix this, basically, because people are working too much over time and it's not being measured.
That started from Spain?
Yes.
Oh, it's
the organization who, triggered this is called Comisiones Obreras, mm-hmm. and it's one of the biggest workers' union in Spain.
Interesting.
Yes. And so Spain was the first one. Then that was fundamentally different because that propelled companies like Kenjo because everyone had to basically buy a system to
track time.
Yeah, exactly. It's not mandatory, but it makes your life way easier if you do this digitally.
Yes.
And that was a fundamental difference. Now it is coming to Germany as well. So it is becoming the same actually for both markets. And then there are some differences, like now in Germany is let's say the whole topic of e-signatures on for working contracts is a gray area, whereas in Spain they are much more relaxed about working contracts, at least the way they are, let's say, signed or established between the employee and the employer. I think everything else is relatively similar.
That's interesting, because you didn't mention one point which I assume is different, but perhaps I'm really wrong. In Germany,
maybe I missed it.
Yep, so we'll see. But in Germany, recruitment is now such a big topic since, due to the demographic change, it's really difficult for most of the companies to really find employees. And I don't know about Spain. So how's the situation there? Is the labor market a market where the applicants have the power, like in Germany, or is it different and the companies have the power?
Yes, it depends sector by sector or industry by industry.
Okay.
I think in Germany, generally speaking, there is this very, 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 very strong and let's say
war for talent.
Big disconnect. Yeah, war for talent, exactly. Pretty much across all industries, like even if we talk about, let's say, lower income jobs. In Spain, it depends a bit by industry. So, for example, if we talk about, let's say, logistics or like a warehouse, where it's relatively easy to train someone to work on a warehouse, then there is a lot of people, a lot of available. If we're talking about tech and high income jobs, then it's as difficult as anywhere else.
Yeah,
almost. Yeah, maybe tech jobs. Yeah, it's a little bit easier to find people in Spain than in Germany. But it's still very difficult because Spanish people, they're getting better and better at speaking English. And if they're in IT, they have access also to the same opportunities, remote opportunities that are available around the world. But also, if we talk about, let's say, more qualified, let's call them blue-collar jobs.
Yes.
Yeah, like electricians or...
mechatronics.
Exactly. That's still very difficult to find.
Yeah. Okay. Some similarities.
Like in Germany.
Obviously, more similarities than I thought. Very interesting. We'll see how the future will develop. Talking about the future and developments, what are your next challenges with Kenjo? Some new product areas that you want to develop, or some new regions? What's on your roadmap?
Yes. Right now, we don't want to expand to other regions in the short term, and we still have room to grow the company in Germany, Spain, Latin America. These are really big markets where there's still a lot to do. And from a product perspective, one area we're looking into is internal communications. It's one of the common requests that come from our customers. They like to use Kenjo as well as a communication platform, not so much like Slack or replacing these kind of tools, but for company announcements and more formal communications between the employee and the company.
Internal communication for companies.
Yes, exactly. So that is one area that we're going to be exploring. And also the whole topic of workforce management. We recently, a few months ago, we released a shift planning module that we're still going to be developing further and further this year.
Sounds like no boredom inside at Kenjo. Sounds very interesting. What about the competition? Everybody knows Personio. Is that really competition to you, or do they address a different target segment?
Yeah, I'd say there's a little bit of overlap between what we do, but Personio focuses more and more on mid-market and larger companies. At least that's what we also see on the market. Mm-hmm. And then I think Personio is more exposed or better fit for high growth startups, companies in industries like technology and professional services. Whereas we tend to focus on more, let's call it traditional sectors, like retail, manufacturing, logistics, for example, is also one of the best industries for us. And so that's the differences between the two.
Interesting. And as a whole, I mean, Personio is just one example. HR tech is really booming. Is there a lot of competition you see in the market, or do you say, well, it's still what Kenjo does is still relatively okay in terms of competition?
Yeah, there is. So the market is very big, and there are like different areas. So the way I divide, let's say, the market is you have on one side comprehensive products all in one platforms like Personio or Kenjo. And then there are point solutions, tools that are doing one specific thing, for example, recruitment, or they only do shift planning, or they only do performance management. Mm-hmm. And for the segment of the market that we target, it's not a very, very competitive segment, because what happens is that if you start as a, let's say, shift planning tool, and you focus on shift planning and you want to be the best at doing this, very quickly you have to go up market and sell to bigger companies, because otherwise your economics don't make sense. So you have to decide whether you go up market or you expand your product horizontally so you can capture more value from the customer and have a viable business. And that's why we see companies that start at the bottom of the market doing one thing specifically, but they go up market very quickly. So they're not competition for us. And then an all-in-one product is something difficult to build. You have to spend time to build the first product to get it out. And I would even say it's not a possibility anymore at this point in time, because there are already companies like Personio and Kenjo in Germany. And if you go out of Europe, there are others like Hibob in the UK, for example. Yeah, that's the way I see it.
Very interesting. We'll see how these things develop. It was a pleasure talking to you. Half an hour is almost gone now. Unbelievable. Wow. But last question. I mean, Saatkorn has a claim, inspiration for a better working world. Is this something that inspired you? Perhaps a book or a movie, or perhaps some talk with somebody?
I remember there was a. I'm going to tell you what the book is about, and then we'll try to remember the name in between. Because it was one of the first books that I read when I became a manager for the first time, and it's about a company in the US. It was a consulting business that built a very unique company culture, and I remember that they had. People working in pairs, basically. So the entire company there were two people doing one function and sitting next to each other all the time, like 100% of the time. That was one of the, let's say, highlights of their culture. There were more things in there that were very, very interesting in the way they organized their work and their company. And that was one of my inspirations to continue learning about the industry and about how companies operate.
Perfect.
Unfortunately, I don't remember right now the title, but I will.
That's fine. You can send me the link to the book, and I will also put it in the show notes. So that's completely fine.
Let's do that.
All right. David, it was a pleasure talking to you. Very interesting, the founding story of Kenjo and what you're about at this point in time, what you want to achieve. I keep my fingers crossed for you and wish you all the best. Thank you very much that you took time for Saatkorn.
Thank you, Gero, for having me here. It was the pleasure was all mine. And yeah, I wish you also the best. And thank you again for having me here.
Wenn dir der Saatkorn-Podcast gefällt, dann wirst du vom RC23-Festival begeistert sein. Early Bird Tickets für das Festival am 6. und 7. Juni in Berlin gibt's noch bis Ende Februar auf www.rc23.de. Ich freue mich, wenn wir uns da sehen. Bis dann!